All right, let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we come before you today in Jesus' name. We thank you for your precious, holy, written word. We thank you that it's your word that's a lamp unto our feet, that it's your word that's a light unto our path. And we thank you that it's your spirit that's our teacher today, that I'm a vessel for pouring. These, your sheep, are vessels for receiving. And it's your spirit that's our teacher. And he doesn't just bring us information. He brings revelation that makes available transformation. And Father, we declare that we receive both comfort and correction from your word today. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Would you stand up on your feet for the reading of the word today? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Our reading is from Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. That's where we're going to start today. I'll read it and then I'll call for you to respond. No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Good job. We're in a series, we're calling it Money Talks. Now, if you're new with us or this is your first time or maybe you haven't been around in a while, don't worry, we're not going to take up a second offering. There's no building fund. We're not trying to give somebody a raise. We just finished a series about relationships. We called it Relationship Renovation. And then we moved into a series about money because kingdom people have to learn to live the kingdom way. And we're so scared about talking about these things in church that we avoid certain subjects. But if we're not up here teaching you how to handle your money from a kingdom way, God's way, and kingdom principles, we're not doing you justice. We have to put handles on the truth and understand God designed everything. He created life, and he made us a certain way. And so you'll remember that what we said last week was what it means to live in and from the kingdom of God in the here and now is that Jesus says you can't serve two masters. Remember, there's a little throne in your heart. And if money sits on that throne, he actually called it mammon. The word is mammon, and that is a word for a particular idol. Did you know the only idol that Jesus ever mentioned by name out of his mouth was mammon? Did you know that Jesus spoke more about money than he did about faith or healing? Why? Because we have to deal with it day to day, and because the temptation is always to let what I want, what I think, what I feel, and what I can do to provide for myself, to make that the determiner of what I do with my life instead of stepping back, having a kingdom mindset. Pastor Jacob says it like this, and I love it. He says, you don't have a money problem. You have a mindset problem. And so again, just by way of reminder, we're in this world, but we're not of this world. So we operate from different principles. And so I'm going to tell you a story about my friend Tom. Just by way of reminder, as we pick this back up, how many of you were here last week? How many of you sat on the tailgate with Jesus? I've been sitting on the tailgate with Jesus. I got some things to say, okay? I've been spending some time with him. And here's the thing. Today we're going to talk about stewardship, what it means to be a steward. Now, we are talking about money, but stewardship is more than just about money. But I want you to understand that money plays a major role in your life because it's a day-to-day principle that you have to be careful that you don't allow money to become the object. God wants you blessed. Blessing is part of the gospel. But God wants you looking to his heart, not his hand. And he wants your heart. Are you with me? And that's why I said, wherever your money goes, that's where your heart's going to be also. You can tell where a person is by what they spend their money on. Are you with me? So just by way of review, before we get into today and start talking about stewardship, remember I said there's a drastic mind shift that needs to happen. There's a mindset that needs to change. My friend, he's English. His name is Tom Nicklin. He's from Gloucester, England. And he used to work with me at Big Lots when I built that Big Lots store there when I moved here to Stillwater. And we were working overnights one night. And I was just curious, and I was young, and I didn't know much about anything back then. I love how Calvin says, I'd amaze you by what I don't know. That's funny. So I started asking him about the royal family. I said, so, like, how did they get paid? Like, how much money do they make? And he was like, I was like, you know, how much money do they make? Like, you know, the president has a salary, and he gets that salary even after he's out of office. And, you know, senators make that. They make a salary. We pay them. They're elected officials. We pay our elected officials. And he looked at me like there was something growing out of the side of my head. And he's like, what are you talking about? It's her money. And I was like, yeah, I understand she earns money, but I mean, like, how much does she earn? And he's like, what are you talking about? It's her money. And I'm thinking there's a communication problem. So I'm like, bro, how much does England pay the queen to be the queen? And he looked at me, he pulled a note out of his wallet, and he put it down, and he was quite offended, really. We're still friends, but he put it down on the counter, and he pointed to it like this, and he said, whose picture is that? And I said, it's the queen's. And he says, mate, it's all her money. What do you mean, money we give her? It's all hers. She gives us the privilege of using her money. It's all her money. Now, he was in the Royal Air Force, SAS. So he was, you know, he was very dedicated to the queen. But there was a mindset of sovereignty that he had. I'm not paying her to do something for me. She's given me the privilege of using what's already hers. Guys, that's kingdom. Everything you have and everything you own is his already. It's already his. You're not paying him. I hate that, pay tithes. You're not paying tithes. You're not paying tithes. It's not a bill. Are you with me? You're not paying tithes. Everybody say that. I don't pay tithes. I offer tithes. Right? It's called tithes and offerings, right? Because I offer it to him freely, because it's a principle of when I pay tithe, what I'm saying, it's a covenant principle in the Old Testament. And before you say, again, let's back up. Well, that's Old Testament, Pastor Will. That's Old Testament. Yes, it is, but it's before the law. We're of the faith of Abraham, right? Children of Abraham, born again from the faith of Abraham, by grace, through faith. Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek. The law came through Moses, and it's talked about in Hebrews. Like, it's a principle of covenant. What that means is, by me offering my tithe to God, I am declaring that it's all his. Which is why when the Bible says, try me now in this and see if I don't open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing you can't contain, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. How does he rebuke the devourer? Because if I declare before God that all of mine is his by that giving of a free will offering of tithe, I'm declaring to the enemy, the world, the flesh, and the devil, all of my stuff is his. And if you touch that, you're going to pay by him. He protects that. Are you with me? And I can't tell you how many times we've had, you know, people will talk about world stuff. We do have storms in life. But if you've got seed in the ground, isn't it called seed? I'm even off notes already. Dad, oh man. Dad, help me. Lord Jesus. Think about it like this. Has anybody ever, you know, there's worldly things where we come into contact with the world. We come into contact with things like loss. The air conditioner goes out. And then the dryer goes out, and then the car breaks down, right? It's like a country song. The dog dies, right? Truck breaks down, lost my job, right? The storms of life happen to us all because we live in a fallen world. The difference with kingdom people is I've got seed in the ground. I won't go under. The worst of the worst can happen to me, and I'm like a cork. I just keep popping to the top. Why? Because everything I have belongs to Him. God is my provider. God is my source. Not my job, not the government, not the president, not my political party, not the economy. That's not my source. God is my source. We live in kingdom principles. And so when we walk in kingdom and we follow God's way is the best way. But we've got to shift our mindset so that we understand I'm a steward, right? We don't pay God part so that He blesses the rest. I've heard that said before. We offer God part because it's all blessed and it's all His anyways. But He's so good and so faithful that if He can get it through you, He'll get it to you and you'll never be without. A steward is a conduit of someone else's presence and person and blessing and power. Are you with me? And so there's a story told about Sam Houston. He was known for being belligerent and coarse and rude. And there was a pastor that led him to Jesus, and he experienced such a transformation after his baptism that he was then known for being super peaceful and content. And he even offered to pay half the local minister's salary. Someone asked him why, and he said, "My pocketbook was baptized too." Martin Luther said there are three conversions necessary: the conversion of the heart, the conversion of the mind, and the conversion of the purse. Are you with me? So now we're caught up. Last week we looked at the heart and our tendency to make money an idol. And so we're talking about that shift between having God be our source or what we can do, right? Now again, there is a God side and there is a man side to every subject in the Bible, right? Just like what little Ava was saying. She's been listening. She's been paying attention. There's a God side and a man side. The reason why money is spoken about so much is because we have to deal with it every day. And if we're not careful, we will start to lean towards what I can do, how I can answer. I can't tell you how many times we've had one of those things happen where something broke down, and we've gotten, and yes, there have been times that we've gotten checks in the mail. Yes, there have been times that somebody just walked up and said, "Here." There have been miraculous things where we got crazy discounts on things and favor, and yes, those things do happen, and they happen often, and they happen consistently, right? But also, there comes a time sometimes where you're facing a problem, and your problem's not your problem. You are your problem. And can I tell you something right now? Most of the time, it's not God, it's not the devil, it's not the world. It's you. You are the biggest enemy, the biggest foe that you'll ever have to face is you. Because Jesus already offered it to you. The enemy's always trying to get it from you. And how you respond, little Miss Ava, how you respond determines the outcome. You can respond God's way, you get God's way. You respond the enemy's way, it ain't gonna work out right. Are you with me? All right, so let's move on. We have to understand that Jesus is Savior. He is Savior. He loves you, and He is Savior. But He is also King. He is King. Not just your money. Everything that you are belongs to Him. Let's get into this now, okay? A steward is someone entrusted with another person's wealth or property, and they're charged with the responsibility of maintaining it in the owner's best interest, right? God is the owner. God is the source. And He is the one that provides for us. If we look at Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11, watch this. Watch this now. Watch God's heart, okay? Because you got people that are like, "Oh, God doesn't want to bless you, and we just need to get by." Godliness with contentment is great gain, right? Godliness with contentment is great gain. But that's only half of that verse, right? The context of that is the love of money is the root of all evil. And if you're seeking to be rich, just to be rich in and of itself, the Bible says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, all these other things will be added to you." Right? And that goes back to the things we were talking about in relationships. if you put the first things first, you get the second things for free. But if you're always chasing the second thing, you usually don't get the second thing and you miss all the first things. How many times do you see somebody give their whole life to building wealth and even a family dynasty, and then they get sick and they can't buy their health back and they lose their family because their relationships are rotten and the whole thing falls to the ground because they didn't follow God's design? Come on, somebody. God knows what he's talking about. He designed this life. Are you with me? So Matthew 7, let's look at his heart now. Matthew 7, 7 through 11. Ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be open for you. Read this with me now. For everyone. I looked up that word in the Greek. Guess what it means? Every single one. Everyone that asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which of you, watch this now, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Jesus wants you blessed to be a blessing. He wants you blessed. He wants to bless you because he loves you. But he wants you looking for his heart and not his hand. All the parents in here know what this is like. Especially come Christmas time. Right? Sometimes the less mature kids, all they can think about is the presents, the presents, the presents. And you're thinking about all the time that we're supposed to spend together and what the present meant and how much time you had to, and you're trying to be thoughtful or whatever, and they're just like, yes, the gift. There's nothing like them running over and going, thanks, Mom, thanks, Dad, oh, you guys. That's what he wants, that. Not about the gift. It's about the giver. Are you with me? And there's a theme, I don't know, it's been traveling from worship through the transition, through the young people that came up. God's after your heart. He don't need your money. But you need to give him your money because your heart can be connected to something other than him, and he knows it's a warning. It's a warning. So let's look at the parable of the talents. Let's go there. Watch this now. In the time I have left, I need to get into this. We'll read this. Watch this now. For it would be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them his property, his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each according to his ability. Each according to his ability. Now we're going to stop and we're going to say this is a metaphor. So Jesus isn't, this is not a specific, this is what happens when this happens. He's using an analogy in order to paint a picture of how the kingdom of God works. Okay? And a talent was like, for the Hebrews, it was like 75 pounds of gold. Right? So it was a measure of value. And today, we're focusing on the money side of it, and he actually does use money to illustrate this principle of the values that he's placed in you. But whether it's your time, whether it's your talent, your giftings and callings, or whether it's your treasure. It's all his. And he gave it all to you. Now listen, he does not expect anyone to do more than they can. He will give you according to your ability, and then it's up to you to grow that ability. He's not going to hold you accountable for something you can't do. Are you with me? Because he's just and he loves you. And he will supply time, which, by the way, if you are overwhelmed, start tithing your time and see how much more time you get. I dare you. I double dog dare you. Are you with me? If even we can see this, how things work in our lives just normally, your talent. If you start sowing your talent, tithing your talent to the church, I have never, ever, ever not seen a musician or even an administrator that came alongside the church and started sowing that talent into their church, and it didn't bleed over into their life, into their job, into their future. Because it's all his, and it's all valuable. He put those gifts in you. So we are zeroing in on money, but because the larger, the wider aspect is that I'm a steward. My life belongs to him. We live in light of eternity. This is the shortest thing we're ever going to do. You're going to look back on your entire life and it's going to be like that one bad day in fourth grade. Are you with me? So we have to understand these things. So he doesn't give you more or doesn't expect more of you than you can actually do. He gives you what you need. There are these little cliche sayings, but they're cliche because they're true. Where God guides, he provides. Where he leads, he meets the need. Now, if you run off and go do something on your own, and then you're like, God, where were you? And it was like, well, I'm the shepherd. You're supposed to be following me. You ran off and ended up in a ditch. Has anybody seen that reel where the lamb, you see it? It's stuck in the ditch, and he pulls it out, and it runs off and ends up right back in the ditch. And he's like, ugh. I feel that, man. And that's, Jesus feels that way too. He's like, man, if you would just follow me, there's a shortcut to this. Just be obedient. But again, your biggest issue is this right here, this guy. Okay. According to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received five talents went at once, traded with them, and he made five more talents. So also he who had received two talents made two talents more. But he who had received the one talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. So question. Did he use it? He didn't use it. He took the gift, but then he hid it. He didn't use it. Watch. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the five talents came forward bringing five talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me five talents. Here, I have made five talents more. And his master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Let's stop and talk about that for a second. Some people will say, I will be faithful when I have more. If you're not faithful in what you have already, you're not going to get more. You have to prove faithful in what you have because it's according to your ability. Remember, he cares more about this. He cares more about your character than your comfort. Right? But didn't Jesus say, what would it profit you if you gained the whole world, but you lost your soul? Right? It's about you becoming the person he created and redeemed you to be. And he's not worried about money. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Are you with me? So watch this now. Let's continue. Then the one who had two talents came and said, Master, you delivered me two, and here I have made two talents more. And he said to him, Well done. There it is again. Good and faithful servant. Did he say, This guy brought me five? Nuh-uh. He said, Well done. Right? Good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. There it is again. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Then he also had received the one talent came forward saying, Master, watch this now. Watch the assumption. There's an assumption here. I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you scattered no seed. Question, where did the man with the five talents get the five talents from? God sowed it into his life. This is a lie. This is a person who has rejected that God is good, has rejected that it belongs to God. Okay, we're not talking about somebody that was trying. We're talking about somebody didn't even try. So there was an offer on the table and they didn't take it. They didn't use it. Watch this now. It's an excuse, but he's lying and Jesus sees your heart. So watch this. So I was afraid and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. So he didn't use it. He hid it. He ignored it. Right? So then This is going to be tough. Let's walk through this together. But his master answered and said, you wicked and slothful servant. So we're not talking about somebody that was trying. We're not talking about somebody that received the gift. They decided to be wicked. They made up their mind about God, apart from his action and all of his direction and all of his instruction and all of his love and the giving of the gift. They decided that they were going to do what they wanted to do, which is really what wicked means. Wicked means my way, not God's way. And slothful, that means lazy. That means lazy. Some people are just lazy when it comes to these things. Well, I don't know. We'll see. I guess we'll see one day. I'm an atheist. I'm an agnostic. You still have to answer the question. You're calling yourself something because of a question you have in your heart. Be honest, be intellectual. I would much rather have a conversation with an intellectually honest person that's actually struggling, but those people end up typically being people like C.S. Lewis who become champions for the Christian cause because they're not slothful, they're not lazy. I need to get to the bottom of this. I need to get to the answer of this. If you knew that you knew that I reap where I haven't sown or gather where I scattered no seed. Now, he's not admitting to this. He's pointing out the fallacy. Next verse. Then you ought to have, if that was the case, is what he's saying. If that was the case, if that's really how you felt, then at least you could have taken my money to the bankers. And at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. So he didn't use it at all. That needs to shade the next statement. Watch what happens. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. See that? Next verse. For everyone who has, more will be given. And he will have abundance. So let's stop and look at that. If you have, God gives you something, you take it, you use it, you have it. You're faithful, he'll give you more, right? But from the one who does not have, what does that mean? He didn't take it. He did not receive it. Even what he has will be taken away. Remember the first things and the second things? See what we're saying here? And I want to stop and point out, when we talk about judgment, let's just read it. Let's roll into this next verse. Watch this now. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. So let's stop and talk about this. So theologically speaking, we're not talking about, let's talk about judgment. I guess we'll talk about judgment again for those of you who haven't been around for a while. What God comes to deal with in judgment is evil, not people. Evil. God is the righteous judge of all the earth, right? So if you had a judge sitting in the courthouse up there and he didn't pass sentence on a murderer, would that be just? So you can't say God isn't just. He is just. He judges evil, not people. Here's the problem. You have free will. And when people retain attachment to evil, evil will drag them into judgment that God never intended for them to suffer. Which is why Jesus died, and you are offered all the way to the very end repentance. You let go of the evil, you don't get judged. Evil gets judged. Everybody say that. Evil gets judged. People don't have to be judged. But where people hold on to evil, evil will drag you into judgment that God has already pronounced. It's not God mad at you because you did something wrong at the weed last night. It's that when Jesus died on the cross, God said, good is good, evil is evil, evil will be judged. Here's the judgment. And if you hold on to it, it'll drag you into judgment that God never meant for you to have. Look at me. You can go 1,000 steps away from God. He's one step back. Always. One step. He leaves the 99 and goes for the 100. He's the one that gave you the talent. But if you take that and you don't accept it, and you go off and you do your own thing, Jesus is coming back. Now listen, we are living in the last of the last days. Jesus is coming back. And one day, we will all stand before him. All of us. Now there's two different judgments. I will. Thank you, Lord Jesus. There are two separate. Let me get into that. Some of you that are younger or haven't been around for a long time, God's not judging you for whether you, if you are a born-again believer, if you've accepted Jesus into your heart, and you're trying, you've accepted the gift, right? And you're walking with Jesus. You're growing and you're learning. You're still going to stand before Jesus. You're going to look him right in his eye. But that's called the Bema Seat judgment. That's a different judgment. There's a believer's judgment and there's an unbeliever's judgment. People get those mixed up. The judgment for unbelievers has to do with weeping and gnashing of teeth. The judgment for us believers is, it's called a Bema Seat because that's the word that they use for the Olympic Games. It's a judgment for reward. It's a judgment for reward. The Bible says, the works that we do in our body, in that day, they'll be judged by fire. At the Bema Seat, the reward seat. Anything that we did out of the right motives and the right way, we get to keep the reward for that. Anything we did for wrong motives or whatever like that, we will suffer loss. But it says, I will quote it, we ourselves will be saved. And he goes on to say, but some of us, it's gonna be as through fire. You're gonna walk into heaven smelling like smoke. Like, whew, people are gonna be like, whoa, I'm so glad you're here, bro. Are you with me? Are you with me? Come on, somebody. Listen, there's a grace there. I know that's theological for some of you, and maybe you haven't heard that, but Jesus isn't waiting to judge you when you mess up. He's got a plan and a purpose for your life. There's a race for you to run. And to the degree, I don't know about you, I want everything Jesus left on the table for me. If he died for me to have it, I don't want to dishonor his death and his love for me by leaving something on the table that I could have gotten. Are you with me? And so we're not talking about God's mad at you because you're not using your money right. What we're saying is there's a fundamental change and shift that needs to happen on the inside of us where we understand Jesus is my Savior and my King, and he's coming back for me, and how I live my life matters. What he put in me matters. What he gave me to steward matters, and I will answer to him for how I stewarded what he gave me. I don't know about you, I want a reward. I want the medal. I think about Star Wars. Anybody think about Star Wars when Luke Skywalker, the very first one, the others are garbage, but that very first one, man, when Luke and Han Solo are walking down the aisle, I lost half of you there, but. And they're like, dun-dun-dun-dun, everybody's laughing and smiling and they're getting they weren't perfect, but they got their reward. It's not about being perfect. It's about doing what he put in front of you. He's not expecting you to do what you can't do. It's said right there, he gives you according to your own ability. He knows your weaknesses. I remember C.S. Lewis saying that there are going to be some people in heaven that were so corrupt and had such things to overcome on earth that they're going to get a greater reward for not kicking a puppy when they really wanted to than somebody that looked all frilly and shiny, but they didn't really help all the people that they should have helped. Right? God's balances are different than our balances, and they're individual. That's why the Bible says, there's a scripture that I skipped, but it's in Romans, and it says, who are you to judge another man's servant? It's to that man's master, whether he stands or falls. And here's how it ends. And he is able to make him stand. Are you with me? But we have to understand that it's our job to steward our lives and steward our finances and steward our relationships, because we will very soon one day, we are living in the last of the last days. And if you don't believe me, Matthew chapter 24, I will, thank you. Matthew chapter 24, nation will rise against nation. And ethnicity against ethnicity. There will be earthquakes and floods in diverse places. Wars and rumors of wars. And many will become offended. Go read it, Matthew chapter 24. And many will become offended. Just open your Facebook app. All you gotta do is make a comment on Facebook. Right? And it says the love of many will grow cold. And unless those days were shortened, even the elect would be affected. Are you with me? I said all that to say this. All you got to do is open up Facebook, look online. We have to be sober and vigilant about the fact that God loves you. You can go 1,000 steps away from him. He's only one step back. He does not want to judge. He's not into judgment. He judged everything at the cross, and he offers you forgiveness. And on the inside of you is a person that he created and redeemed you to be. Your time, your talent, and your treasure belong to him. And how you steward that, here's the crazy thing. If you use it, it comes back to you in this life. You seek first the kingdom of God, all of the other things are added unto you. But if you get stingy with it, whether it's your money or whether it's that talent, whether it's that gift that God keeps trying to get you to step out and use, right? Like Calvin was saying last week, man, he comes up on the inside of just step out. How we shepherd, how we steward those things on the inside of us, they matter. They matter for the kingdom, but they also matter for you. Because this is actually the shortest thing you're ever going to do. And one day, and here's the thing. When I say one day you're going to see Jesus face to face, there is accountability. If that fills you with dread, you might need to sit on the tailgate for a while with Jesus. You might need to get into the Word and find out what you actually believe and what you're doing with your life. Because that unprofitable servant, he thought about God all wrong. He had a misconception of God. He didn't understand God's love. He didn't understand the gift that he was given, and he squandered it. I want to be the 10-talent guy. I'll probably end up being the 2-talent guy. But I want to be the 10-talent guy. I'm shooting for that. I just know that I'm a mess. Melissa, look straight ahead. Don't say anything. Just look straight ahead. Well, let me say that too. Let me just say that. I'm going to close with this. I know we're talking about money, and I've covered a lot of different. We need to think soberly about how we live our life. Yes, we live under grace, but still you're going to be rewarded for the things you've done in your body. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let me talk to you about guardrails. God has given us guardrails. Anybody in Oklahoma knows because you've seen them, because people hit them all the time. It's the weirdest thing in the world. You drive by on I-35, all those guardrails, it's like, who's driving through these things? Like Super Mario Kart or something like that? Bang, bang. There are guardrails on the road of your life. Listen to me now. God has given us the guardrail of grace. Unearned, undeserved, unmerited favor and blessing from God because he loves you, because you're his kid. And he has a plan and he has a purpose for you. It's a purpose to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope. That guardrail keeps you from the ditch of legalism. I got to measure up for God to accept me and love me. That guardrail keeps you out of that ditch. Right? But there's another guardrail. It's called the fear of the Lord. And it doesn't mean that you're afraid of him. Even back when they gave the law, it's really funny. If you go and read where Moses was given the law or whatever, Moses said, don't be afraid, but come near so that you can learn how to fear. Now, if you're like me, my head goes tilt, tilt, wait. I'm not supposed to be afraid, but I'm supposed to learn how to be afraid. The fear of the Lord, that word means honor. Honor means weight. It means what he says carries a lot of weight with you. If he says, don't do that, it's going to hurt. You trust him enough, you don't have to try it out to see. He carries a lot of weight with me. So grace keeps us out of the ditch of legalism and the fear of the Lord. What he says goes, and that carries a lot of weight with me, whether I understand it or not. That keeps us out of the ditch of hedonism, which is whatever makes you happy. What I want, what I think, what I feel. My purpose, my plan, my pursuit. He's given us the guardrails, guys. It's all in his word. And he's not only done that, but he's given us his spirit. So when the spirit says, hey, hey, go give them a 20. When the spirit says, hey, hey, don't say that. When that woman God gave you is on your last nerve and you're just getting ready to give her the zinger that's going to show her how right you are, and the Holy Spirit says, shut up. Then you say, thank you, Lord, for this woman that you've given me. And you shut up, trust me. Well, and I'll say that too. I even hate saying it out of my own mouth. You will be held accountable to Jesus for how you treat his daughter. I will, you will, and you ladies, guess what? You will be held accountable for how you treat. Doesn't mean you're going to hell. Again, we make it scary. Accountability is a good thing. It's not a scary thing. But you have to understand your life is not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is his. We need to move away from this reality, this almost new age Christian reality where we live our life and ask God to bless it. Right? Instead of, I go where the blessing is, and that's in kingdom. I live my life in kingdom principles. And then goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life, and I dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. So bow your heads with me.